Welcome to this week's episode of Insight. During this week's show, we're going to be covering two primary topics and a few minor ones. The primary ones is going to be a long interview that French President Macron gave with French media, where he talked about Armenia and Russia and a few other things. And the second one is the report that came out of Human Rights Watch about their review of the videotapes of the murder of Armenian POWs by Aliyev's forces. Let's start off with the first topic of the week, which is the interview that French President Macron gave to French media. During that interview, he made a comment and he started talking about Armenia, Azerbaijan, and Artsakh and other matters. And he made the case that he believes that it is Russia, in this case, that is encouraging aggression against Armenia by the Aliyev regime. This was immediately responded to by the spokesman for the Russian Foreign Ministry, Maria Zakharova, who accused the EU of meddling in this area and interrupting Russia's mediating role. In truth, what President Macron is saying is something that many people here believe, frankly, from ordinary people to people in high office. Most believe that at least some of the aggression that comes from the Aliyev regime is actually encouraged by Moscow. What is interesting here is how direct his criticisms were and how openly he talked about this, which was rather bold and out there. In truth, this could be very, very much the case. But however, as we know, we really have no way of proving this. I suspect, 15, 20 years from now, we'll be much more clear about what this is. But bottom line is, this is what a lot of people believe here. And the perceptions, as we know in politics, are far more relevant than the realities. And what's the sort of the proof and the backup with this? One of the things that you see consistently is this sort of this tripart alliance between Azerbaijan, Turkey, and Russia. Everything from oil smuggling out of Azerbaijan, it's very clear that the Aliyev regime is laundering Russian oil. Suddenly this year, despite the fact that every year oil output goes down, has suddenly massively increased, which means obviously they're laundering Russian oil. And there was actually talk this week, highlighted by both President Putin and the dictator from Ankara, about building an energy hub in Turkey, which is rather interesting because if Europe is not buying Russian energy, where is this hub going to launder or send Russian gas to? An interesting corollary with this, if this hub is ever built, it would essentially actually put Aliyev's gas production out of business because Russian gas is far cheaper than the one that's produced in Azerbaijan in price point range. So I suspect that this is probably just hyperbole and not really based on reality, or Erdogan is using it for his campaign purposes. But obviously there's an alliance here, and this alliance that's working together in many ways conspiring against this country. In this case, however, we're not going to let the French president off that easily. Obviously, what he's doing here is dumping on President Putin of Russia, which is the Western enemy of the moment. But let's go through his logic. He's saying that Russia is using Aliyev to attack Armenia, which obviously makes them partners in crime. But however, that partners in crime that he sees does not prevent him or other Western leaders from backslapping the dictator from Baku or making deals with him. So which one is it, President Macron? In this case, are you claiming that the servant is greater than the master? I don't believe that to be the case. As far as why this is happening, it's not that hard to figure out. There's a lot of talk about European values, especially from EU leaders, but more often than not, European values end when European profits begin. I would suggest to the French president, if you're actually serious about changing the equation here, the first thing to do is to offer to sell us weapons and to provide military training, because that's the only thing that's going to really actually change the balance of forces. Let's move on to the Russian reaction to this, Maria Zakharova's statements. And obviously what she says is not particularly relevant about who's interfering with who or their mediating role. I'm not sure what their mediating role is at this point in any real terms. However, it brings us to the sort of the 800-pound gorilla in the room when it comes to Russia and Artsakh and other things, and that is that any kind of a final agreement between Armenia, Artsakh, and Azerbaijan actually does not serve Russian interests. The Russian interest is for this issue to go on forever and for have a consistent Russian military presence in Artsakh that does not get interfered with by anybody. So one of the things as we watch all of these talks and negotiations between the different powers, short of state collapse in Russia, Russia will, in many ways, have the final word on many things that happen here. And as we know, just instinctively, as I just stated, their position is not to have this issue solved in any final way. Now, many times, in many instances, this is something that's been contradictory to our interests. Sometimes it is something that is good for our interests, but times change. But that's the reality on the ground. So you can have all of these conversations and all of these agreements, and while they're still around, they have the ability to disrupt all of them. And I'm going to move on to the second topic of the week, which is the Human Rights Watch report about the execution and murder of Armenian POWs by the Aliyev regime. They came up with a very exact report. They actually confirmed by geolocation and by the uniforms and the language of that this actually happened and who was murdering who. And they obviously moved on with everybody else to call for an investigation. Now, what's interesting here is that, frankly, we don't need an investigation. We simply need a prosecution. The case is already on tape. There's not much to investigate. It's just to find out who did it and to prosecute them. What is ridiculous in all of this is if you listen to what all the different states or human rights organizations or others, they're asking for the Aliyev regime to investigate itself, i.e. the army that commits these kinds of murders, to go ahead and investigate itself and somehow prosecute these individuals who were obviously green-lighted to commit these kinds of acts. And on the face of it, that is an absurd, and in fact, on some levels, it's a complete insult. To highlight how absurd this demand is for the Aliyev regime to investigate itself, I would advise you to watch the following video. This is during a week that there's been many accusations of the Aliyev regime actually murdering and covering up its own soldiers. So I would ask you to watch this video.
Mən ora gedənəsən gətirib polisiyə də xistəyindən, görəyinətən, yarıq içindən var götürmüşdülər. Getdim öldüyü yerə də baxdım. Qazarmalarına da baxdım. Səngərdə bir damcı qan yox idi.
So we are supposed to trust this organization or this, I'm not going to call them an army, it's armed groups working for Aliyev to investigate themselves and somehow give a report like they're the Swiss or the government of Luxembourg. It's just ridiculous on the face of it. Obviously, given the charges that that father was making, they're hard to confirm because it's a totalitarian state and there's absolutely no way to confirm any of these things. However, for someone to speak like that, you have to be an aggrieved father to speak like that in a state where they can put you in jail and disappear you very quickly. What we do know is that since the war, and this has been reported by social media and opposition and basically by many different people in that country, is that there's a massive problem of suicide among the veterans of the war or many cases of hazing and murder that goes on in their army all the time. In conclusion on this matter, it's obviously that the world actually wants to cover these murders up for countless different reasons. We saw what happened in Bucha in Ukraine, and there was a worldwide call for investigations, and Russia was not being asked to investigate itself. But obviously, in this case, our blood is cheaper than others. What is key here, and what is the most damning, is our own government's position that is not demanding an international investigation and prosecution, that is not putting its foot down and actually fighting for the rights of our citizens. Because at the end of the day, if we don't fight for ourselves and we don't value our lives, you certainly cannot expect other people to do so. Now we're going to move on to the third topic of the week, which is a couple of announcements that were made by Defense Minister Papikyan. The first one is the, and by far the most important one I will say in the long run, is the creation of these territorial defense forces, which is actually designed to be a reserve system, National Guard system in Armenia. And why is this important? Because we have never had an organized, consistent, unified system of effective reserve forces, which are critical for a country like ours. Secondly, legally, the establishment of such an organization allows us to actually have cooperate with the Western militaries who otherwise would not operate or work with the normal Armenian armed forces because of our membership in SESTO. And third, it's important for the modernization of the army because in the long run, what you want to do is to have less conscript and a smaller army of professionals that are supplemented by much larger, effective, well-trained group of reservists rather than putting 18, 19-year-olds on the front lines. The second thing that Mr. Babigyan announced was his trip to India. What this is rumored to be is a second round of purchases of military equipment from India. And obviously, what we're seeing here is a pattern of a deepening relationship in between these two countries, especially when it comes to military purchases. In conclusion, what we're going to close with is this issues that we've been dealing with in the last week or 10 days, which is about the EU and possibly OSCE sending missions to the border to prevent further incursions or invasions by Aliyev's forces. What's interesting here is that the EU is supposedly sending 40 of these people to go to the border and monitor it. What's actually more interesting to me is the OSCE possible involvement, because this could actually be a good way to keep that organization going and viable, because as we know, the Aliyev regime has worked strenuously to destroy the OSCE mission, saying there's nothing for them to do, there's nothing for them to talk about. So I think their involvement would be good. What do any of these people do? I think this is a small marginal good. I don't think it obviously solves their problems. And given the EU's track record, there's really nothing saying that these 40 people won't lie like their boss, Toivu Klar, all the time the next time Aliyev's forces invade Armenia. In reality, as you know, this is we should take it for what it is, which is a very minor plus. There's no one is going to defend our borders except ourselves. That's our job, and that's what we need to be focused on, and not to look for consolations by few people running around their borders with yellow vests on. That is not what's going to protect this country. Only we can protect this country. Thank you for joining me this week's episode of Insights.
Everybody is to leave here immediately. This cafe is closed until further notice. Clear the room at once.
How can you close me up? On what ground?
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
You're winning, sir.
Oh, thank you very much. Everybody out at once.